Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We sure appreciate it each and every time you drop in. We're getting ready to talk to listener Noel for some fun Disney talk to kick off the week. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books. We're here in the middle of February. Maybe you have the day off today. Pick up a digital copy of The Wisdom of Walt or Jeff Barnes' newest book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, which focuses on Walt Disney taking the idea of Disneyland down to Central Florida to kind of expand on those dreams and even do some urban planning. But more importantly, you got a little Disney history in there, but also it's a book that's going to inspire you, help you build better relationships with those around you, friends, coworkers, family. It's a great book for the Disney fan. You know, I know you're a Disney fan, but also the Disney fans around you. So go by Amazon, pick up a copy of The Wisdom of Walt or Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, or grab a personally signed copy today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with great pictures of almost every single room on property, and so much more. For the cost of a counter service meal down at Walt Disney World, you're going to get 365 days of amazing information to make your next vacation awesome. Be the hero in your family. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1291 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and a senior agent over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy President's Day, everybody here in the States. I hope that you're doing better than I am. You know what? It's just a regular busy Monday for me, but maybe you are off work or school today. Kudos to you if that happens. That's the one drawback from not being a teacher. No days off anymore like I used to have, but no big deal. I'm enjoying it here. When you get to work with Disney topics and all that kind of stuff, you can't argue with life. It's a great thing. So again, we're back here to talk Disney. Joining me from up in New York, we're going to have a great show for you today. Ellie joins us. How's it going, Ellie?
Awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you on the show because, last week I talked with Garrett. Now, you probably haven't heard the show at the time we're recording right now, but he gave us some thoughts on his college program, how he ironically ended up in Central Florida doing the college program kind of unexpectedly. And we're going to dive into that again today. And you know what? I think this is going to be fun, not only for myself, but for the listeners, because you guys are the ones who make the magic. So college program, was it a fun thing for you kind of looking back because you just finished?
Oh, yeah. This is my second college program, and I was actually the same work location as my first program. So I liked it so much then that I had to come back. It was such a wonderful experience. What made me go back the second time is that I went on vacation to meet up with some of my friends from my last college program. And all I wanted to do was go to work. Like, I didn't want to go on the rides. I just wanted to go back to work. And so I did.
That is so cool. That's so cool. So let's kind of take it from the beginning because I like hearing these stories. And again, like I told Garrett last week, one of the biggest regrets is that I didn't know about the college program when I was back in school, you know, eons and eons ago. I would have loved to have done something like this. So how did you find out about the college program and how did the dream start for you?
Sure. It's kind of a funny story. I had gone on a trip when I graduated high school and I really wanted to get those Mickey graduation ears. And we could not find them anywhere, but we kept seeing people with these little golden tassels on their ears. So finally, we went up to somebody and we're like, where did you get that? And they said, we just graduated our college program. And so it kind of started from there, and I started asking questions. And then once you get involved in this world, it's really time-consuming and all-encompassing, and it really, you become obsessed. But it's a good obsession. You're obsessed with Disney, and now there's just another element that you enjoy.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, it started out as something like, oh, I have a guidebook, and I'll read that tonight before I go to bed. Now it's everything I do in my entire life, you know. But it's such a great journey, like you just mentioned. So you see these, and we've all seen that. I don't know if all of our listeners have been there during particular times, but I'll tell you one of the most unique things that I've ever seen on a Disney vacation, and one of the... It's weird because it was emotional, but like in a detached way for me, was that I was there one summer with the family, and we were watching Wishes, you know, just like we do at the end of a night at the Magic Kingdom. But it was obviously the last hurrah for one of the college program classes, and they were all together, had their ears on, tears being shed everywhere. So I know that, I didn't get to do it, but I could tell that the bonds form quickly, and that it's, you kind of come to a realization that this is something special, a really interesting time in your life.
I knew you were going to say that because all the CPs do that, like the last day, and just sob. It's awful because you make these great friendships and connections, and then everybody scatters around the world. So it's hard, but you also have places to stay all the way around the world and around the country.
That's a good way to look at it.
For the rest of your life.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, I know somebody all over. That's a great thing that Walt Disney World is such a melting pot, not only just, for our podcast community right here. I mean, I would have never met friends from Japan or from Australia or from, the United Kingdom. And I truly have friends all over the world now. And it's just, it's amazing. So let me ask you about, you saw these ears. So how do you go from, that sounds like a cool thing, I'm going to research it, but how do you actually get yourself to Florida? How do you apply? Did they come to your school? What happened?
Sure. So the process has changed since I first applied my first program. So they used to do these workshops at colleges around the country, and they would just get you pumped. They'd have these amazing videos, and people were crying in these workshops, and you would get to speak with different representatives, and they were actually considered cast members. So they would continue to get the cast member perks, which is wonderful for them. Unfortunately, Disney no longer does that program. So when I first applied, I spoke with a student representative at my school, and she walked me through the process. So imagine a Facebook group of 4,000, 5,000 anxious college students. And one day everybody gets an email, the college applications are open, and everybody freaks out. So there's three parts to the initial interview. The first, you submit an application, and it's just like a regular job application, although there are certain words that they look for, and that kind of helps them scan people out. And if you pass that part, which some people don't get past that, but if you pass, then you go to the web-based interview. And they ask some questions in weird wordings, like one of the big ones that people say to be careful for is that they'll say, I'm late sometimes, I'm never late for work, I'm only 10 minutes late, and you obviously replied never late. And then five questions later, they'll say, what do you do when you're late for work? And be like, I call my boss, or I call a friend, I'm never late. Like, answer, I'm never late. So they try to trick you a little bit there. But once you pass that, then you move on to a phone interview, and a representative from Disney calls you, and it's also very nerve-wracking. And after that, you wait for a magical email to come through that says you've been accepted.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody knows that it is, pretty, it's a strenuous, it's somewhat strenuous process to get accepted for the college program. I think some folks, and like I thought this initially, was that, you just sign your name on the line, they want you down there because they need, cast members, and college kids are usually eager to take on roles like that and to get the experience, working for a company like Disney. But I would imagine going through a three-step process like that, when you are accepted, it is a pretty big deal. So what was it like when you initially found out, hey, I'm getting to do the college program?
I cried. I really did. I actually found out this time around they had 35,000 people apply for my season and 4,000 people got in.
Wow.
So just to put it in perspective of how competitive the program is. But my first time I got in, I was really excited, and my mom was really involved. The first time I applied, I didn't get in. The second time I applied, I actually got a cake made for my mom that said, I'm going to Disney World spring 2015. And so I was like, Mom, I'm really feeling like ice cream cake tonight. Here, I picked one up, and she opened it, and she cried, and I cried, and yeah, we cried for like 5 days. I listened to Wishes and was just sobbing. My dreams came true.
Jiminy Cricket's talking right to your heart. That's so cool. I love it because, especially when your whole family gets involved, because typically I would imagine that the college students, you know, the folks that are going down for a program like this, it's something not for everybody, but for most families, like you're a Disney family and it's something special for everybody.
Oh, yeah. There's actually a Facebook group for moms and dads of college program participants. So I got a t-shirt this Christmas that says, like, I worked through Hurricane Irma and Disney World. And there's like a palm tree and the coconuts are hidden Mickeys. Like the parents get into it.
I need to have you talk to my daughter, Paige. She's in college right now. She's thinking about the program. Maybe, maybe not. She's going to Ireland for the summer to do some volunteering and helping with the healthcare over in Ireland to get some experience. But I'd like to be in that Facebook group.
So yeah, I went to Ireland too. So tell Paige, just let me know and I can walk her through it.
She has no idea what she's getting into. We don't either. I've never hardly left the country except for a cruise. So, just good for her. So anyway, you get accepted. And so what's it like in that interim time period before you actually go to Florida? Like, how do you get your stuff ready for the move to Central Florida for the program?
So it's kind of weird how you apply. So I applied in January, and then in February I found out I was going. And I didn't go down to Florida until the end of August, early September. So there's like a long gap there. But around 2 months before, they start sending you these really, again, magical emails that make you cry, sending you information about what to bring and hurricane prevention information, like, you know, what to do during a hurricane. And so they kind of walk you through starting about 2 months before. You can also pick your roommates. So there's a lot of surveys on the Facebook page for the college program students, which is all student run. Disney doesn't run that specific page, but people will connect as roommates there. And then they'll have like paperwork for you to fill out. So they have a lot of things that they get you kind of psyched for the program for.
That's interesting because, you know, and I mentioned this last week on the show with Garrett, is that the closest parallel I can draw was that I spent a couple of summers as an instructor at Space Camp down in Alabama. And I went there because I had a passion. I mean, I was already a teacher in the public school system. I taught sixth grade at the time, got sent down as a teacher for a week just to, you know, learn new techniques to use with my students. And I fell in love with the place. And it's very much like Walt Disney World, where, you know, it's very thematic, you know, like you wake up like an astronaut in the morning, you train, you wear the flight suit, you know, you're doing hands-on activities, team building, so forth for 7 days straight. So I wanted to go back. I was like, man, a week isn't enough. So I had to research. I begged the lady who was in charge of all the teachers, how do I get to be an instructor instead of being a student next summer? So she's like, you know, I'll do this, pass this 500 question test about spaces. Anyway, I got accepted to go down, but, you know, I didn't go away to school. So this was my first experience actually, you know, staying in a dorm with people I didn't know, because I showed up and I didn't know a soul. But it was the greatest time because I got to do something I was passionate about, got to work with people all over the world, similar to your experience, I can imagine. So what was it like once you got there and it is like this melting pot and you're trying to figure out what's going to happen now that you have been accepted and you're with fellow program members down there?
Sure. So I had a unique experience this time around because I have a neurological pain condition and I have a service dog in training who's an emotional support dog. So I actually had my own apartment in Disney. They don't let you room with other people if you have a medical accommodation. So this time around, it was hard because I saw a lot of people meeting their roommates online and I wasn't really able to participate in that. That's like a very small percentage of us. But my first program, I met who we call each other Disney BFFs, and you go down there and you have this immediate kinship and bond with people you've never met face to face. And actually one of them just texted me today, I want to see you, let's get together soon. Like, and this is two, three years ago that I did the program. So it's amazing that you have that immediate bond with people that you've never even met.
I agree, because, you know, you're drawn there. And plus, you know, the process of going, like you said, from 35,000 to only 4 making it, you're already kind of like in the club, you know, like you've worked your way there. So you've kind of got a bond already. Now, did you notice that, obviously, you're a huge Disney fan. I'm sure that there were like uber Disney fans that make it. But I would also imagine that maybe some people didn't know the history of the company, or, you know, just thought it was a resume builder for them. So what was kind of the general, what did you see in like the big pool of college program members?
So you do see a range. One of my favorite stories to tell is my jaw dropped when I heard this kid. So they take us to our park training, and I worked in the Magic Kingdom. So we get to go on one of the rides, and we get to go on the Haunted Mansion. So they ask how many of you have never been on this ride before, and this kid raises his hand. He's like, all right, you know, let us know how you like it afterward. And he's on the ride. He comes off. He's like, that was horrible. We're like mortified. What? The Haunted Mansion? Did you get the story? And every time she kills someone, she gets another pearl necklace. Like, did you understand? And he's like, yeah, but it wasn't scary. And for somebody like that, that's not the point. It's the storytelling. It's not the thrill.
And so,
there were people like that.
They gave him a job walking the conveyor belt there. You noticed pointing to the dune buggies, getting them on.
Yeah, I know. He should have sent him on his way. Yeah. I couldn't believe he responded like that. And then there's also like the Disney nerds like me who, like, I took Disney Heritage, which is a class where you learn the history of Disney. And a lot of kids, as soon as class would end, everybody would pull out their cell phones and call their parents. I just learned this. I learned this really cool fact in class. So you have like all ranges.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I can tell that you're a huge Disney fan. Obviously, before you went down, this was something that was special to you. And I've always thought this too, that, you know, I would love to be a cast member, not only for the fact of actually having the experience, you know, of either working in a hotel or working in a theme park and interacting with guests, but just as importantly, to go through things like traditions, you know, I've done tours. I've done a ton of the tours, Keys to the Kingdom, Marceline to the Magic Kingdom, the steam trains. I've done a bunch. And I love that peek behind the curtain, because Walt Disney World is such an amazing place. But to be, you know, I've never been in that role of a cast member where you are why people have the experience that they have. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but the cast members are the heart and soul of Walt Disney World. And we appreciate you guys so much. So was that lost on you, or did you feel that immediately upon getting there?
Oh, it was not lost on me at all. The biggest thing that I've learned, and I worked in the Bippity Boppity Boutique, so Fairy Godmother is like a big deal to me. And I met her the last day of my program, and she knew it was my last day, I told her. And she said, you just take the magic with you wherever you go. You got to bring magic here, but now on your way home, when you're on an airplane and you're at a pit stop, like, you let them know that you bring that magic wherever you go. And that meant a lot to me, because a lot of times you think you're in Disney World and you're making that magic for people, but the real gift is being able to take that home with you and bring that with you wherever you go. It made me the coolest student teacher, I will say that. When you tell kids that, like, you're in with Cinderella, they will listen to anything you say.
That's right.
It's wonderful.
So now you've gone into education. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was going to be a teacher right out of high school. Like, I knew that's what I wanted to do, but I also knew I really wanted to work in Disney, and there were some educational opportunities down there, which I don't think at this time I'm looking to pursue, but so much of what I learned down there I can take with me to the classroom, especially working with parents. I don't think people realize that, but I'm you're a teacher, you know, even though you're not in the classroom right now, working with parents can be just as tricky as working with students sometimes. And that's something I really learned in Disney, especially when everybody's stressed and tired. And if you can make somebody happy through that, you can do anything.
Oh, you've got it made. I mean, that's exactly right. It's about building relationships and about, you know, speaking to people in a way that, you know, with respect and kindness and understanding. And that's what the great cast members do at Walt Disney World, because a lot of times they're seeing folks, you know, of course, when you're at Walt Disney World, ideally you're having the best time of your life, but realistically, I would imagine that you ran into this many times where, even though you're at the happiest place on earth, you know, and you're supposed to be having this great time, that it can also be stressful because a lot of people are out of their element. The kids are acting crazy because they're out of their routines. I mean, did you see that, you know, that many times the cast member's role was not necessarily, like you said, being getting the hair for the girls and everything set up, but also just listening and trying to solve a problem for them?
Oh, yeah. People, what I learned is people just want to be heard. And so I had this little motto that I would never say no to a guest. And I know that sounds odd, but it's not that I wouldn't say no, is that I would always offer another solution. So they would say, is there a bathroom here? I'd be like, unfortunately, we don't have one here, but the nearest bathroom is right over here. And sometimes I found, like, lately, people will just be like, oh, we don't have that, or we don't know. And that drives me crazy. Like, you're in Disney World. Help them find those solutions. And that was something that I've learned in Disney that I've really been able to take with me. Because as long as you're giving another option, it shows that you care and that you just don't want to leave them to the wolves. You want to make things happen for them.
This is awesome. This is exactly right. I mean, hopefully everybody's getting inspired today listening to this show. Maybe somebody will consider the college program because it is such a growth opportunity, but also an enriching opportunity. I can tell that will stay with you for your entire life. So let me ask you this, because I'm curious. I got a lot of questions, but you know, to do something like you did with the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, you know, Mallory's done that two or three different times, loved it every time. You know, as a dad, it's like, oh, it's so cool to see the pictures and the reveal and all that good stuff. You know, it's amazing. But how do they select? Like, did you have a knack for, because you got to have a skill to do that. You know, I don't think they can just bring anybody off the street to do the hair and the makeup and all that stuff. Like, how do they give you your role?
So out of the 35,000 people that applied and the 4,000 that got in, only 6 or 7 of us got to work in the castle. To put it in perspective, there were about 15 to 20 more in Disney Springs. So that's a really small percentage if you think about it. For me, when I did my interviews both times, the focus on the acting, I think, is what got me the role. Because honestly, the hair and makeup and nails, while you think you're going in there for that, you're going in there because your kid's becoming a princess. Like, the ivy trellis salon, they do beautiful, beautiful looks. And if that's what you're going for, go there. But if you want that experience where your child is meeting her fairy godmother and training forever, go to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. And we've had kids come back years later because, you know, they met their forever fairy godmother in training. So the biggest thing, if you're applying to the college program and you want to work in the boutique, focus on any acting experience. I also had a lot of experience with children with special needs, which definitely helped secure me into the role. And I noticed a lot of other fairies had that experience as well.
Good tips. And you mentioned the ivy trellis. You know, that's something that we experienced just last month for the first time, where, you know, Mallory has done Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique a couple of times, and now she's kind of into that preteen. You know, she's got an older sister, so she, you know, she thinks she's older than she is. It's one of those things like, slow down, you don't need to grow up so fast. Your older sister's already almost out of college. But it was one of those things where my buddy, for a birthday present and a Christmas present combined for Mallory, you know, that they exchange gifts, he booked Mallory and her best friend Emily over at Ivy Trellis. And I thought that was, you know, you're right, it's not the story, but would you agree that that might be something for like the preteens that just want to get like a little hairdo, and, you know, they don't need the dresses and the whole thing anymore, but it was kind of a fun day for them. It was like a mini spa day.
Absolutely. I also recommend doing the barbershop on Main Street, and they can, you know, do some styles there. There's people that get so limited sometimes in what they think they should or shouldn't do when they go to Disney World. And there's no right answer, because if you have a positive mindset, no matter what you do, you're going to have a great time. And for those preteens, the Pirates League is a perfect experience. I would see people of all ages coming in as pirates. I really wanted to do it. I didn't get a chance to do it this time around. But there's so many opportunities that if you do want to be immersed in that storytelling, they're there. And if you just kind of want to get glamorous and have a good night on the town, you have the Ivy Trellis Salon. Just remember that you can always stop by the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique doors. And as long as you're 3 years old and older, you can get some pixie dust, and that's totally free. And I don't think you're ever too old for pixie dust, in my opinion.
I think I got pixie dusted once. I remember, I mean, it was flying everywhere in that place. We were at Disney Springs, but yeah, it was flying out like it was going out of style. So definitely, that's a great tip there too. Now, let me ask you this, okay, because I know you have to have a million stories, you know, because I can tell you all kinds of stories from my times at Space Camp where I went in and I thought it was just going to be a Wednesday, you know, like, oh, well, I'm doing a double today. I'm working from 6:30 a.m. till 10 o'clock p.m. But that's fine, because I'm living down here and I'm having a blast and I'm doing what I want to do. But then the Wednesday becomes a day that changes me just because of an experience I had with another teacher that I was working with or something like that. So could you share maybe a story or two of something that maybe caught you by surprise that you're still going to treasure in your heart forever?
Oh, every day there's a story. One of my favorites happened the very beginning of my first college program. I had a little girl come in and her hair was so knotty, which meant that I was going to have to brush through it with the hairstyle she chose. And you just, if you're going to the boutique, like, for the sake of your child, just brush their hair, because we don't want to hurt them. We really don't. And, but we were taking our time, and I was helping her with learning some math tricks because she was having trouble in school. And we just had a great time together. And at the end, I turned her around for her grand reveal, and she just started giggling and laughing. And the mom pulled me aside and she said, Just so you know, she's a cancer survivor, so this means so much to us. She has a lot of self-esteem difficulties, and this means so much to us. And just that alone, you know, takes you back. You don't expect that. And so they have the smaller mirror that we show the girls, and the mom is talking to the photographer, and I gave the girl a closer look. And she just whispers to herself, like nobody could hear her, "I'm pretty." Like she couldn't believe it. And I told her, I'm like, "You're not just pretty, you're beautiful inside and out." And she just gave me the biggest hug, because coming from anybody on the street, it was one thing. But hearing that they're in the castle and she's a princess and having that special magical moment, and I was able to give her a special button because she had gone through such a difficult life experience at such a young age. And it still, it makes me teary-eyed, because I could say, like, I got to do that. Like, that was just a Wednesday, like you said.
You know, how do you hold it together, though, with something like that? And I know you have to keep your composure. You're playing your role. You know, you like you said, there's a lot of acting involved. But it's also, you know, that's the real world. And I mean, this is, you know, they've shared something very heavy, you know, but also you're there at like one of the brightest moments, you know, in this journey. That's a rough one. I mean, right now I'm tearing up just thinking about that. And I wasn't there, you know, just hearing about it. I mean, I would imagine that it is hard to keep your emotions in check in a situation like that.
It's so hard, especially the Make-A-Wish children, because I do have the background in special ed. And also I had brain surgery about a year ago. So I was able to show them my scar, so they would feel a lot better when I would show them my hair before I did their hair. And a lot of those children, like, that's their prom, that's their wedding day, and those parents are celebrating this day like it's that, because some of those children won't make it that far. And to think, like, you get to be that person, there's nothing like it. And then you also have the chance to make the families happy. Like, I had one family who came in, and I would always ask, "What are you celebrating?" And the girl said, "Oh, I'm celebrating Pop's life. He died, and his dying wish was that my whole family would go to Disney World." So the grandmother got some money together and sent them all to Disney World. And so I had special pins made up for all the girls. So when we turned them around in the chairs, all the parents got to read their buttons. And it said, "I'm celebrating Pop's life." And I had buttons made for the whole family, and we presented it to them. And the grandmother went in my arm, just sobbing, hugging me. And you know, I made a button. That's all I did. But it's that magic that's associated with that. That, again, it's only in Disney World.
That you know, and that button's hanging in somebody's bedroom right now. I mean, you got to know that. You know, like, I remember that. I mean, this is something totally not even, I'm not trying to compare this to that, because that is so cool and that is so special. But jokingly, we were coming down Main Street. This is like 2 or 3 years ago. I remember I used to not fly. I was scared to death to get on an airplane. And then one day, like, I finally told Pam, "We're flying to Wine and Dine. You know what? I'm done driving. I'm going to kill us, because we drive overnight, 15 hours. My back is not what it used to be." So, like, I decided I'm just going to bite the bullet and fly in an airplane. So I flew down there, you know, didn't tell anybody else doing it, got there. And we're joking because, of course, you know, you go down Main Street and they'll, you know, those cast members stand there in the morning and ask, you know, giving out buttons, "What are you celebrating today?" Just like you said. And I don't know who I was with. They're like, "This guy got on an airplane." So, like, she made me a button that just says, you know, "I'm celebrating that I flew." You know, and that thing is sitting right here in the studio and will always be here because I had such a ball with that. But I mean, like you said, I mean, that's something that, you know, that they may go to Walt Disney World 10 more times in life. They may never go back. But that memory's there forever. Now they have a tangible thing to remember that trip.
Absolutely. And a funny button story. I have a family member with special needs who was deathly afraid of Carousel of Progress when she was a kid because it gets dark. So she decided that she was going to tackle it recently. And she did it. And I made her a button that said, "I conquered Carousel of Progress." And the, like, princess is trying so hard to hold in their laughter as they read her button. But it's, you know, for her, that was an accomplishment. She had some special needs, and that was a big deal. So we celebrate everything.
That's exactly right. You know what? And that's probably the only button of that kind in the history of the world. And that's hard to say nowadays. So, oh, that's too fun. Now, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who've done college program. I worked with some people actually at Space Camp that were college program alum. And, you know, Nate Parrish from Wedway did the college program back in the 90s. So you guys work like long hours. I know that, you know, while you're there, a lot of people take on extra shifts because that's why you're there. You're there to have the experience, and that is something you love. So what's it like with that workload? Because I'd imagine you did, you know, you worked quite a few hours, and it's hard to keep up.
Yeah. An average day for me would be getting there at 8 o'clock and leaving at 8 o'clock. I was actually one of the lucky ones because most people had shifts that would change every day. Like they would start at 8 o'clock in the morning and work to 8 one day, and the next day they'd be working 1 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning. So I had a nice consistent schedule, but I did have to make sure that I was balancing, eating healthy while I was down there, because it's so easy to just eat park food all the time, especially when you're there such a short amount of time. And making sure I was getting an appropriate amount of sleep, as hard as it is because everything is right at your fingertips, I did make sure that I'd go to bed early, and also so that I could put on the best show for the guests the day after.
I bet you there were some cast members that did not do that from the stories I've heard. But I know some people just, they enjoy that. You know, they're doing their role, but I think they're burning the candle from both ends from what I've heard.
Yeah. My first program, I mean, I would work 12-hour shifts and then I would go to the parks till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning every night. And I learned that that wasn't a really great, smart thing to do. So this time I tried to be a little bit more proactive and a little more mature about how I handled it.
And, you know, everybody's going to have a better experience. You're going to enjoy yourself if you're not dog tired all the time. And the guests are going to get a better, better show from you as well. And I'd imagine, too, being in the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, because I spoke with Garrett last week, like I said, and when he was on the college program, he worked at Big Thunder. So that's really cool. He worked in operations. And he had lots of great stories, talked about some of his friends who were working janitorial, who really enjoyed it because of the interactions they had with the guests. But, I mean, you're really there. I mean, especially in the role you had, you're like there one-on-one. And this is such a unique thing. You know, I would say 75 to 80% of the guests don't even know the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique exists. If I had to guess, I don't know, just regular guests, not the folks listening to this show. Most people have probably been there that listen. But, you know, I would imagine that you really got a kick out of having that role because, like you said, how many people work in a Cinderella castle, and, you know, you're doing something so personal, like when you're doing somebody's hair and makeup. I mean, that's so cool.
Yeah, and about 90% of the people that were there had been planning this and waiting for this.
Yes.
For 180 days, so I didn't want to, I wanted to make the best show that I could for the people who are waiting, because for some of these kids, like you never know what their background is. You don't know if they might have been being bullied in school, and this is their chance to feel special and like somebody doesn't think that they should be pushed down, but that they should be lifted up. Like you just because a kid looks a certain way, you just never know their background. So I'd always work really hard to imagine that that's my very first princess I've ever had and treat that girl that way, because you never know.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. These guests are so lucky to have cast members like you, and I can only wish that every cast member plays their role like it seems like you did. So that's awesome. I love hearing this. This is a really inspiring show for me, so I hope it is for our listeners as well. Now, as we wrap up, you know, folks may be considering, you know, doing this. Maybe somebody's listening today in high school, or, you know, they're early in their college career. What advice would you give somebody, you know, that may be thinking, hey, this is something I might want to pursue? Maybe not 100%, but maybe it's something to keep on the radar. What would you tell them today?
Well, first of all, find Disney College Program on Facebook and follow them, because they'll post a lot of pictures and cool experiences. They also have a really cool YouTube channel. And I also want people to know that it's not just working in the parks. I don't think people realize all the opportunities that can be presented to them. For example, I did a cast member Amazing Race. I finally had a chance to go to the water parks and do golf course. I did characters in flight and water balloons, and I tried all the spas with the different Disney discounts that we had. Got to go to the holiday tapings and see all these celebrities. They have all these unique photo opportunities. My first day, I met the Fab Five. I met Donald in a pumpkin costume. I got to meet Jodie Benson, take a picture with her. I met Pilgrim Mickey and Minnie, Elvis Stitch. I mean, it goes on and on. I met Disney's original Tom Sawyer, which was totally, totally cool. Tom Nab. And I did the Wild Africa Trek. I never would have been able to afford that. And I even got to perform at House of Blues with the CP talent show. And nice. That's just like a fraction of the things I got to do. I mean, I got to meet a ton of Imagineers at this tech event that is super top secret, but just a phenomenal experience. So don't think that it's just working in a park. You get to take classes. You get to meet Disney executives. You have so many opportunities to network. It doesn't matter what your college major is. There's always some way to connect it to Disney. And I've like proven that I can connect it to almost any major, because you learn so many things while you're there.
Well, and pragmatically too, I would think that when people see that you did the Disney College program on a resume, you know, I know, you know, I worked in education for 17 years, and you know, it's highly competitive when you get into certain positions like gifted education. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of those teachers out there that are certified for that. You know, you want to distinguish yourself from somebody else when you're trying to get through the door initially. So having the Disney name on your resume, I mean, I've always heard that is something that's pretty powerful. Did you find that to be true?
Absolutely. I would always call it the Disney difference. And when I would present it to interviewers, obviously I just came back from Disney, so don't have a job as of yet because I just got back. But I would say I've learned the Disney difference by doing this program, and they would ask what that is, and you're able to go into basically what I've said today, how everybody is an individual and how you have to treat them like that. And it has gotten me jobs so quickly. I mean, I'm very lucky to have not had job rejections, because I would talk about my Disney experiences and they'd be like, when can you start?
Exactly.
So I'm very lucky.
Oh man, I'd hire you in a second. So as we're wrapping up, but closing out, I know you have an online presence. So where can people, you know, follow what you do, get in contact with you if they have any questions? Because I know folks are just probably fired up about the college program right now, and you've really laid it out there. So where can people find you?
Sure. You can find me on ellieearnsherears.blogspot.com. Ellie is E-L-L-I-E, just like from the movie Up. And I have pictures and experiences, stories from past princesses that I've done. So I have some funny ones, some heartfelt ones, some make-a-wish ones. And if you have any questions about the college program, I'm more than happy to answer. You'll see the information on that page to contact me.
All right. Well, Ellie, thanks so much for kicking off the week with us. You know, definitely inspiring. Lots of fun peeking behind the curtain a little bit here on a Monday. And hope to cross paths with you down at Walt Disney World sometime soon. That'd be a blast.
That would be awesome.
All right. Well, don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. It could be you. It could be those around you. Pick up a copy of The Wisdom of Walt or Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, both by author Jeff Barnes. Make yourself a little bit better. A lot of the things that Ellie talked about today are mentioned in the book. We talk about how Walt Disney inspired those around him, found creative solutions to problems, things like that. You can get all these lessons right there in each of these books. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And don't wait in line on your next trip. You know what? You need to know when to zig when everybody else is zagging. And that's what you do over at touringplans.com. Pick up that premium subscription for the cost of a counter service meal. Good for 365 days of great information for your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal trip. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, when you do that online shopping, please support the podcast. Just use our Amazon affiliate link. You'll get all of your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. Just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Bookmark it today. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. Well, hopefully you're off work today and you can just continue to relax and get ready for the 4-day week. And if you're working, well done. So am I. So make it a great Monday. So for Ellie, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work for some of us. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.